the chief of the eight principal Gopi associates of Srimati Radharani. We worship Krishna. We have been introduced to the worship of Krishna by Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of the sampradaya of pure devotees coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has introduced the pure worship of Radha and Krishna in this Kali Yuga. We're very fortunate because Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. This is the ultimate Sarupa, our identity of God. God can be understood as the creator of this world. He can be understood as our order supplier. That is a very materialistic understanding of God. God can be understood as the Lord of his own spiritual kingdom, worshipped by countless devotees in awe and reverence. But there is a more confidential understanding of God that only a very privileged few are able to realize, that God is actually the supreme enjoyer, that he can be, one can have a relationship with God in a very intimate way, because he created us to share pleasure with. He doesn't need an army of drones, workers, slaves. He has already his internal energies that do everything for his requirements and his pleasure. He doesn't need us to just be workers or even thinkers. He has also hordes of sages who do a lot of thinking for him. Vedic sages, great rishis and renunciants who meditate on him. He has enough of that. What he wants is some living entities who can have a personal relationship with him. And so he expands himself, first of all, he expands himself as his pleasure potency, especially to enjoy, to share enjoyment. He is the supreme male, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller. And so he manifests his female counterpart eternally in order to share that, to enjoy that male-female relationship in its pure form. Srimati Radharani is the original pleasure potency of the Lord. She is supreme. And as he, she's his counterpart. So she parallels him. As he expands, so she also expands. He expands his into Baladev and then all the Narayanas and all the avatars, all the creator lords of this material world, all are expanding from Krishna. Similarly, from Srimati Radharani are expanding. The gopis, their expansions, the queen, the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, the queens in Dwarka, the material goddesses of fortune in the material world are all expanding from Krishna's original pleasure potency. But she first has, just like he first has his Chaturvyuha, his brother Balaram, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, who appear in his earthly pastimes as his son and grandson. Similarly, Srimati Radharani has her primary expansions. And just as Balaram is really the same person, but he's showing a special or particular aspect of Krishna's personality. He's Krishna's elder brother, although he's actually Krishna himself, in essence. God is one. We don't have two different gods. Srimati Radharani and all her expansions are also one. Shakti Tattva is one. If Vishnu Tattva is one, there's only one person there in all the expansions of Vishnu, not thousands of gods. millions of gods. There's one God. One Supreme Lord who has many appearances, who's showing his infinite personality in countless ways, or showing different sides of his personality in all these different forms. The same person. Similarly, Srimati Radharani, she expands her Shakti Tattva, also infinite, also one and the same. The principal gopis are also not different from Srimati Radharani. They are her immediate expansions, and they exhibit the particular special aspects of her personality. And the first of all, these expanses is Srimati Lalita Devi, who appears just as Balaram appears as the older brother of Krishna. Lalita Devi is the older companion of Srimati Radharani. As older, she has this mood of a caretaker, mood of a superior, elder. This is required for the variety of Krishna's and Radharani's pleasure pastimes. She plays this role, Srimati Lalita Devi, as the elder companion of Srimati Radharani, who Radharani is just a young girl. Her elder companion is advising her, correcting her, and also intercedes, chastising Krishna for his wickedness, fighting with him. These are the moods of Srimati Lalita Devi, so she's technically called left-wing gopi, manifesting that aspect of Srimati Radharani's personality, that she's not so easily cooperative, that she's not just going along with everything, that she has a mind of her own and is not shy to express it. So Lalita Devi, although the supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani, is worshipped by all faithful devotees, and everyone is in awe of her. She is the supreme goddess. But Srimati Lalita Devi can talk back to her and correct her. This is a special mood. Much more than that I can't say. I don't have the qualification. I'm not going to pretend. Even if I had read Ujjvala Nilmani, which I haven't, it would just be words to me, and I really cannot speak it with realization. Okay, so let's read the verse.
Which is which?
55. Sarva Shastra Dipyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kalidvanto Ditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pataya Vimavarshakshadayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Madeka Bandho Matsangin Madhuru Madmahadana Madhistaraka Madhbhagya Madananda Namostute Asadu Sadu Tadayin Atinicho Chatakara Anamuncha kadachin mam devnarit krantayok spura. Well, maybe I should say something else. We are chanting Hare Krishna. We're appealing first of all to Krishna's pleasure potency and then to him. Because if you want to get the favor of Krishna, you'll have to get the favor first of all of Srimati Radharani. When she speaks to Krishna on our behalf, then we're saved. And if we displease her, then we're in trouble. Krishna listens to Radharani. And Radharani listens to Srimati Lalita Devi. So, conclusion is, we have to get her favor, and if we get her displeasure, we're in serious trouble. Okay, I just wanted to mention that. Text number 55. Did I say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? Did I say Om Namo? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam sakvid dadarshaja parabrahmatmanukhilan yasya basa sarvamidam vipati sacharacharam evam sakvid dadarshaja parabrahmatmanukhilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vipati sacharacharam. Please chant. Evam sakrit dadarshaja parabrahmatmanukhilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vipati sacharacharam evam sakrit dadarshajah atmanukhilan yasya bhasa sarvamidam vipati sacharacharam evam sakrit dadarshaja paramatmanukhila
yasya bhasa sarvamidam
vipati sacharacharam evam sakrit dadarshaja paramatmanukhila yasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati sacharacharam evam thus sakrit at one time dadarsha saw ajaha Lord Brahma Parabrahma of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Atmanaha expansions, Okilan, all the calves and boys, etc. Yasya, of whom, Basa, by the manifestation. Sarvam, all, idam, this, vibhati, is manifested. Sacharacharam, whatever is moving and non-moving. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thus Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Brahman, by whose energy this entire universe, with its moving and non-moving living beings, is manifested. He also saw at the same time all the calves and boys as the Lord's expansions. purport. By this incident, Lord Brahma was able to see how Krishna maintains the entire universe in different ways. It is because Krishna manifests everything that is visible. So we can say theoretically, we can understand philosophically, that there's nothing amazing here. Krishna is the creator and maintainer of everything. So that Krishna showed Brahma himself manifesting everything is nothing special, philosophically. But experienced as a pastime, experienced in person, as a living event, it is the most amazing thing. It's okay to talk theoretically, to understand Krishna's everything. But when Krishna shows you everything, then that shatters your sobriety. And you may forget all your philosophy. Here the men are the big men of the universe. Brahma, four-headed Brahma, chief of the demigods, creator of the worlds, big man, super VIP. And Krishna, the supreme male personality of Godhead, they're on the front stage here. And all these Narayanas who have emanated from Krishna, all these supreme males. But actually the ladies are in the background running the whole show. This is the, how does Krishna maintain the entire universe? By his yogamaya potency. So yesterday was the appearance day of Sita Thakurani, the avatar of yogamaya. Today is the appearance day of the principal expansion of Srimati Radharani. And the day after tomorrow is Srimati Radharani's appearance day. This is Shakti Tatra season. And the ladies may not be on front stage, but they're behind the curtains running the whole show. It's by his yogamaya that Krishna has arranged this pastime, or let's say that she arranged the pastime for him. And he's just experiencing it, participating in it along with everybody else. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natatsamas cha byadikak cha drishyate. This is the supreme position of God. There's no equal and no superior to him. Now you can make that the first definition of God. We don't know what God is. He's a rock, he's a tree, he's a bird, he's Superman, who knows what he is. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. We don't know what God is. But he's, we can say at least he's the best, he's the most of everything. He's higher than everybody else. So that's stated in the Upanishad. Natatsamas, there's nobody equal to him. Of course, some may object that we're saying him. Why not him or her? But anyway, him. It's masculine in the Upanishad. Him, her, it, whatever it is. There's nothing greater than he, she, or it, and nothing equal to he, she, or it. That is the most generic definition of God, and it's there in that verse. And more things are added. You want to know more about God? Okay, Natasya Karyam. He doesn't have a job. He has no obligations. He doesn't go to work, doesn't go to school. Because it doesn't say what he does do, but it says what he doesn't do. He doesn't work under obligation. Maybe he does nothing, but he doesn't do anything under obligation. He doesn't have any duty. He doesn't have anything he has to do. Unlike all the other gods and all the other mortals, they all have obligations. Even if you don't have a family, even if you're a bachelor, you have obligation to feed your stomach, obligation to go to the toilet. You have obligations, things you have to do. But God doesn't, the Supreme, he, she, or it, doesn't have anything he, she, or it has to do. karanam. And he doesn't have, this is something, actually a complicated idea. The absolute truth doesn't have any karanam. Karanam we can translate as senses, but more basically, more to be philosophically exact, it means instrument, tool. In the 47th Anucheda of the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami discusses this from some other verses in the Bhagavatam that talk about karanam. I think Daksha's prayer in the Hamsa Guya prayers, that he's praying to the Supreme who doesn't have any karanam. What can you mean by that? No instrument. Senses are not the only kind of instrument, but it's also an instrument. And if you have no instrument, you have no senses. You got no eyes, no ears, you have no instruments. Okay, I don't have a hammer, I don't have a screwdriver, but I have eyes, I have ears. If I don't, I'm not a living being. So what do we mean when we say the Supreme has no karanam, no instruments? So Jiva Goswami, actually he's going back to Sridhar Swami, who explains, here instrument means a tool used by a living being that's different from the living being. A person, something that's not part of his own personality, some external object that he uses to accomplish his goals, his purposes. And he has to impart his own energy on that tool in order for it to be able to work. The tool doesn't work by itself. The hammer cannot put nails into the board by itself. You have to hold the hammer and bang it with your own physical strength. Even if it's an electric hammer, you have to push the button. You have to hold it. That's a tool, karanam. That's, let's say, a philosophical definition. That explains why you can say that God doesn't have any karanam. Because although he has his capacity to do things, and he has his senses and his consciousness, they're not at all separate from his inner personality. He doesn't have any separate senses. We, as conditioned living entities, our senses are separate. My eyes, my physical eyes, my physical sense of sight, including the eyeballs and the nerves that go back into the brain, the part of the brain that processes visual sensory information, all this is a mechanism, part of the material body, and it's separate from me. That material sense of sight is a tool, just like my hammer and screwdriver. It's separate from me, and I have to use it with my own consciousness and my own power. I have to impart the energy of myself onto this tool for it to be able to work. But God, he doesn't have such senses. He has innate senses. They're not different from himself. God's body is not different from God himself. So you can say he doesn't have any karanam, no senses, no instruments. Doesn't have any tools. Although he's holding his club, lotus, these are his tools. He's got a club. That's not a tool? It's a tool, but it's his innate energy. It's one of his internal potencies, not different from him. Certainly, the parts of his body are not different from him. Even the things that are external to him, that are his powers, his weapons, and so on, his associates, his servants, they're also not different from him. He doesn't have any separate instruments. Even though he's holding a club and a disc in his hand, those aren't tools, but they're not tools in the material sense. So, naktasya karyam karanam. So I'm just explaining two words here. He doesn't have any karyam and he doesn't have any karanam. And then, nobody is equal to or greater than him. Okay, that much of God is a common understanding of many philosophical schools, including the Mayavadis will see it the same way we do. Halfway through that verse, we're not presenting any different philosophy from the Mayavadis. Especially since we're mostly saying what God isn't. So we agree with the Mayavadis about what God isn't. But what about, well, okay, what is he? What does he have? If he doesn't have any karyam and any karanam and no one equal to him and no one greater than him, you know, all these things he doesn't have, what does he have? Vividaivya Shaktir. Manifold potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate. And how do we know that? Shriyate. We hear it. And we don't just hear it from some brahmana, some person, I can't remember whom. No, we hear it from the Vedas. Shriyate. It is heard from Shruti, from standard authority, from unquestionable authority. The authority of the Vedas. Tell us. The Upanishads tell us that the absolute potency has manifold, infinite variety of potencies, energies. Shakti. What is a Shakti? Anybody here study physics in high school? What is energy? Yeah, to do some sort of work. That means to make something happen. Activity, movement. The capacity for the performance of work is called energy. You know, I have energy stored in the battery. I plug the battery into my tape recorder and the music comes out. That is a potency in the battery. If I don't put a battery in, no potency, no music. So energy, Shakti, God has unlimited variety of different potencies. The thing about a potency is that it's, well, okay, what does it say about the potencies? Parasya Shaktir. Para, first of all, there is different grades of potencies. There are spiritual potencies and material potencies. We distinguish. Some schools, even some schools of Vaishnavas, don't care clearly distinguish between spiritual and material potencies. But we make a distinction. The potencies that we learned about in physics are material potencies. The potencies that we know in this world from all material sciences and from our own observation are just material potencies. They are the inferior energy of God. But God has superior energy too. Parashakti. And the Parashakti comes first. This is his actual personal potency. And the Apara, or inferior energy, is simply her poor cousin, her expansion, for the purpose of maintaining and controlling the realm of ignorance and illusion, for the incarceration and correction of rebellious souls. Material energy is empowered by Krishna, by the Supreme Lord, to keep the living entities who are rebellious, keep them under control. But his original energy, from whom the inferior energy expands, his Apara Shakti comes first. She has personal relationship with him. The Apara, or inferior potency, is ashamed to stand in front of his face. Vilaja manaya yasya statum ikshapate muya. Anaya. She is ashamed to even let him see her. She hides behind his back, the material energy. So, with that mood, she can't have a very intimate relationship with Krishna. Krishna's relationship with Prakriti is he looks at her once. And that's it. Just like you get married and you see your new bride and you don't like what you see. And you don't talk to your wife for the rest of your life. Yeah. Like that. Krishna looks at Prakriti once and that's enough. That's the relationship. Anyway, Prakriti is only an expansion of his original Parashakti. Para asya shaktir. This, whatever he, she, or it is, has this superior energy. Asya, not identified. Unidentified supreme object. That supreme object has superior energy, which is vivida, manifold, many varieties. Everything isn't one, everything is multiple. Swabhaviki. Pradyumna Prabhu once asked Prabhupada, what does Swabhaviki mean in that verse? And Prabhupada answered, it means autonomous. There are other explanations also in the commentaries, but Prabhupada said it means autonomous. Autonomous, just like you had autonomous regions in the Soviet Union, it means a place that's actually dominated, you know, subservient, but they can pretend to be independent. Or more proper, actual autonomy is that you're given some freedom, but not complete independence. Like a dog is allowed to run around the yard, but there's a fence and he can't jump over. So he's the master of the yard. But if you don't want to be bit by the dog, just stay on the other side of the fence. You can't get over it. He's not free, independent. He's given some limited independence. That's called autonomy. So the energies of the Supreme are called Swabhaviki. One understanding of Swabhava means they belong to his Swabhava. They belong to his inner nature. Like Swarup Shakti can be called Swabhaviki. It belongs... It not only belongs to him, like I have a hammer, it belongs to me. But I have consciousness that belongs to me in a much more intimate sense. I don't exist without my consciousness. I can throw the hammer away or sell it to somebody. I can alienate the hammer, but I cannot alienate my consciousness. It's part of me. So the consciousness is called Swabhaviki. It's innate. It is part of me. It cannot be separated. So the energies of the Parashakti, as opposed to the inferior energy of God, is inseparable from him. He doesn't live without them. He has no life without them. He doesn't separate himself from them. And they cannot exist without him. That's one meaning of Swabhaviki. Innate. And then the other meaning that Prabhupada pointed out is autonomous. On his behalf, they can make up their own mind what to do, and they have their own powers to do to carry out their missions for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna empowers his potencies to act on his behalf. He gives them the intelligence and the energy to act on their own. Of course, we're also potencies of Krishna. We're also, in a sense, Parashakti, but we're small, tiny Parashakti, little tiny sparks. But as sparks of that internal energy, we also have that autonomy, a real small fraction of it. The Shakti Tatra has infinite autonomy in all her expansions. She expands and expands and expands, but she's still infinite, as long as it's still Shakti Tatva. Just like the example of the Vishnu expansions, candle lights another candle, but the second candle and the millionth candle are all of the same potency. So the expansions of Srimati Radharani into the principal gopis, into the other gopis that are Shakti Tattvas, into the Lakshmis and the Mahishis of Dwarka, they're all Shakti Tattva, and therefore they're all infinite. Infinite in potency, complete in their personalities. It's time to stop, isn't it? Okay, anyway, breakfast is not served out yet. Continue until it's laid out. So these autonomous potencies do everything for Krishna. And the internal potencies, their business is to give Krishna pleasure and to arrange his pastimes. So the internal potency of Krishna is Yogamaya, has arranged this whole Vimohana Leela, and has arranged all the other Leelas that are described here in the 10th canto. We are servants of that internal potency. Even if we're busy preaching, busy cooking, busy cleaning, we're doing it in the service of the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. That's our only business. Okay, so any further discussion, comments, questions? Bardhan Prabhu's hand first. Yeah. Which is not so barbecue? Oh, the material energy. That means they have consciousness, desire, thought, their own potency, their own free will. Battery does not.
Shakti, it seems like they are meant to, like, they will act on other things and make them, they will help in the expression of other things, and
well,
they are the Shakti.
The Shaktis do that. Both kinds of Shaktis do that. They exert influence on other things, including Krishna. Right?
Yeah.
So that power to exert influence, which means to influence somebody or something else, is there in both the material and spiritual potencies. Yeah. Krishna empowers the material energy to completely dominate all the conditioned souls. That's a lot of power.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that?
Yes.
That answer, okay.
Yes, sir. We understand it in both ways that they can. Shakti.
Both. Yeah, it's not a difference. They both have that. You know, they're both empowered.
Another thing is in that verse, yes, the verse that we read today, the second half of it, Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vivati, is directly Upanishad.
By his Bhasa, by his, yeah.
Tameva Bhanta Manubhati Sarvam Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vivati.
You can take it literally that Bhasa is just sunlight, but it's also poetic. It means his power. By his power, everything else is empowered.
Yes.
He gives his personal power, or he empowers his energies, and the energies empower everything else.
Yeah.
Dhamar Gopal? No? Okay. Okay, but I wanted to mention something. Day after tomorrow is Srimati Radharani's appearance day. I think we should have a day off, but that's Friday, so then we should have classes on Saturday. And then anybody wants to go to Vrindavan on Friday. Is that okay? Then classes will be held on Saturday. Yes?
I don't know if it's a good idea. I was going to actually come and ask you today.
Come closer.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's a good idea. I was going to come and ask you today about, because we usually have Saturday off, maybe to have Thursday off also instead of the Saturday. Like, oh, I was just thinking that's obviously because I wanted to go.
No, sorry, you're talking in general.
Well, that was my own selfish idea because I wanted to go to Vrindavan tomorrow. I think you're giving class tomorrow. Is there? Or?
I'm giving class tomorrow, but. Tomorrow is not you're just going to Vrindavan tomorrow. It's not a holiday.
Yeah, are you going to give class tomorrow?
I'm going to give class tomorrow morning in Vrindavan, yeah, but I'm coming back after breakfast.
So you'll give your
class? I'll be giving my class. So I think we shouldn't cancel classes for Thursday if you're not going to be here.
Well, we do, but I don't think we should cancel everything.
Is there something special going on in Vrindavan that everybody should go to? Or on Thursday?
Oh no, I thought that because I thought we were going to have Red House to meet and then Saturday off, but.
Oh.
So then I thought we could switch Saturday with Thursday.
Oh, but okay, what I'm trying to do is keep 6 days of classes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm open to discussion on it, but. Why don't we discuss it further later today? Unless it's okay, we just have classes on Saturday and have the day off Friday. We want to talk about Thursday, we can talk about it. Okay. All glories to Srimati Lalita Devi, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.